Thank you very much, Carol.
We want to turn in our Bibles tonight, please, to Luke chapter 8. And while you're turning up the place, can I say it is a joy and a privilege for both myself and my wife and the family to be with you this evening. Your minister stated that he was with us just a number of months ago at our gospel mission, our harvest mission in Antrim, and we had a very good time spent around God's Word. I think it was perhaps either the last night or the penultimate night of the mission. He said, maybe you could do me a favour, seeing as I have done you one. And I asked him what that was, and he said, well, maybe you could come along and preach at the final night of the missionary weekend in January. And I thought that was the favour. But I said I would be delighted to do it, and it's great to be here. But he went on to explain that the favour was that I had to bring my wife as well, so that she could minister in song. And I was explaining to the folk in Antrim this morning, normally if I'm preaching somewhere, Carol is in our home congregation, but I know she was looking forward to it as well. She was very, very nervous. She said to me before she got up for that last, and she says, my legs are shaking here, I'm really nervous. But we trust the Lord will bless the ministry and song, and we are delighted to be with you this evening. And trust that God will bless us now as we meet around His Word. We're going to read from verse 26 down to the end of verse 39 of Luke's Gospel and the chapter 8. I have to behave myself tonight here. Your minister was saying, he was naming some of the places that different people have travelled from to be here this weekend. There's some folk from Antrim as well, so that means this preacher has to be in his best behaviour, and we trust the Lord will draw near and bless. Luke chapter 8 and the verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about him besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired and infallible word to all of our hearts this evening. Before we come to the scriptures this evening to consider the message the Lord has laid upon our heart, we want to seek his face now in a brief moment of prayer and pray that God will draw very near, and that above the voice of the preacher, the voice of the Lord will be heard in the declaration of God's word. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you that it is the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, and it is the sword of the Spirit. We pray this evening that thy word would run and have free course, that Lord, the Saviour, would be exalted and uplifted. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt minister to the hearts of all who have gathered. Thou knowest the need. Thou knowest the condition of each one gathered in this gospel service. We thank thee for the missionary weekend. We thank you for those who have taken part. We thank you for those who have reported on the work of God. And we pray that you will bless all of our missionaries. Remember those serving in the field this very night. Remember our mission board and our missionary council. We pray, our God, that thy blessing will be upon them. Lord, that thy work would be furthered and established and would have caused to flourish and to grow even in the year that lies ahead. As we have come to the end of this weekend of reports and preaching, we pray that God himself will draw nigh. Fill me now with thy Spirit to declare thy word in sincerity, with truth and with passion. And, O God, we ask that should there be any in this meeting yet out of Christ, that thy Spirit will draw them effectually to the cross, that they will repent and believe and be saved from their lost condition. We pray these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. The portion of scripture we read together this evening records for us the conversion of that man who has come to be known as the demonic or the madman of Gadara. When he was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, I might say to you that he presents for us the characteristics of a model Christian. If you look at verse 38 and 39, these verses record something of this man's experience after he had been converted and delivered from the devil's power. And it says, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him." You will notice that this man, when he was converted, he wanted to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was leaving that place. He was going to continue his ministry among the towns and the villages, preaching the word of God, declaring the truth of God, healing the sick, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. This man wanted to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to you that surely one of the marks of a man or woman who has been born again, has been delivered from sin and has been saved, is that they no longer want to run with the devil's crowd. They want to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the presence of God's people. This man, before he was saved, Matthew tells us in his account that there were two men who met the Lord. They terrorized the community. They struck fear into the hearts of all who would pass by. And now that this man is saved, he wants to be in the presence of the Lord and of the Lord's people. And I am saying to you that one of the changes, our brother quoted that verse of scripture in his testimony, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new." When a man or woman gets a taste of God's salvation, I'm saying they'll want to be in the place where God's presence is manifested. They'll want to meet the Lord, walk in those ways that are pleasing to him. So this man, he desired to be in the presence of the Lord. You'll notice another characteristic about him when he was saved. He was willing to obey the Lord. You will notice that after he besought the Lord that he might be with him, Jesus sent him away. The Lord had something different for this Christian than what this
Christian man at first thought himself. He thought he would join that little band who were following the Lord from village to village and town to town. But no, the Lord had something different. He was going to send him back to his home. He was going to tell him to remain in that place of the Gadarenes, that he would be a witness there. And if you look at verse 39, you will see that it says at the second part of that verse, he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He was obedient to the Lord. Can I say on this missionary weekend, perhaps there is someone in this meeting, and why you have thought there's a particular path in life, even in the service of God, you want to go down. Maybe there's someone in their saying in their heart, I'm happy to serve the Lord in Ballymoney. I'm happy to serve the Lord in my own church. And the Lord has something else for you.
My, you should be like this man. He was willing to obey the Lord. The mark of a convert is one who is willing to obey the Lord. Perhaps I should turn it around and say, perhaps there's even one, because I think the application follows through. Here was a man who wanted to go with the Lord on his, if we could call it, his itinerant ministry. And yet the Lord said, no, you will stay at home. You will be a witness in the home place. And maybe that's what the Lord has for you. Maybe there's the thought, there's the romance of the mission field, but it's not for you. The Lord's saying, I want you to be a witness in your home, in your place of employment, in your own local church. The point I am making to you is this, that this man, when he was saved, was willing to obey the Lord. And so should every man or woman born again of the Spirit of God. If we look again at verse 39, we see another characteristic of this man when he was converted, namely, that he was willing to tell forth of God's salvation. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He was prepared to tell others the salvation that God in Jesus Christ had wrought in his own heart. See, it's Spurgeon called this man a home missionary. He was willing to testify for Christ in the home place, in his own city. And tonight, to tie our gospel message in to this missionary weekend, the thought I want to present to you and the question I want to ask is this: what message did this man take to the people of his home place and his home city? The missionary's message. I think the first thing that this man would have declared, told off, was something about the destructive power of Satan. This man had first-hand experience of how the devil can destroy a life. Look at verse 27. And when he went forth to land, that is the Lord Jesus, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. He was possessed by a legion of evil spirits, of fallen demonic powers. I don't believe that man was always like that. You see, in verse 39, we've already read it, the Lord said, go to thine own house. In Mark's account, the word used is home. This man, before he had been given over to sin, before he had gone down the road of sin and been possessed by these devils, he had a home, he had a family before he lived among the tombs. It seems to be that he had a home life. And yet at some point in his life, he determined to give himself over to the paths of sin, the life of sin. Sin and the devil got a grip of his life and took him further than I believe he ever planned to go. And he ended up living naked among the tombs.
harming himself with no peace of mind or heart, terrorizing all who passed by. He was an outcast, rejected by society. And the lesson surely is this, that if men and women, if young people let sin and the devil get a grip of their life, it will take them further than they want to go. It will rob them of everything and will take them on that spiral downwards into a life of ruination. You know, when we read a portion of scripture like this and when we preach upon it, the automatic reaction in the hearts and lives of individuals is that I'm not as bad as that man. My life isn't ruined like that man's was. My life is not in the mess that sin caused that individual. Yet I think if we stop for a moment and if we examine the gathering, this madman, we will see very clearly that while you may not be in the condition literally that he was in, he presents where men and women stand spiritually before God. I want you to notice that a conversation was had with the Lord Jesus Christ whenever the Lord came to the country of the Gadarenes, and he came out of that little ship and he began to make his way to the country of the Gadarenes. Look at verse 28. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out. And of course, we know that it was the demonic powers that were talking to the Lord through this man. And it says, "What with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." And I would draw your attention to the spirit of defiance that was in this man. When the Lord came across his path, the first thing that he spoke of, the first words that he uttered were words of defiance, words of rebellion. What have I to do with thee? In other words, I want nothing to do with thee. He's rejecting and resisting the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I point out to you this evening that defiance against the Lord and His claims over your life is surely a sign and a sure marker that you are still off your father, the devil. He is the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. And for that soul that would cry out, "We will not," or "I will not have this man to reign over me, my life, I reject, I resist his claims in the gospel as they come through the preaching of God's word." I'm saying it's a mark, it's a sign that men and women are still in their sin. They're still under the influence of their father, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You can claim never to have engrossed or engaged yourself in the acts of sin that this man did. You can tell me you're a fine religious person who attends your church week after week, but if you reject Christ as He's freely offered in the gospel, you remain unsaved, on the road to a Christless eternity. He resisted with a loud voice. He resisted the Lord. And can I point out, this conversation also reveals his destiny. In his sin, I might add. Look at verse 31. It says, "And they besought him." So they're beseeching him, and you'll notice it's they. It's the demonic spirits that possessed that man. They besought him, that's the Lord Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Realizing the Lord was casting them out of the man and that they could never take possession of him again, they seek the Lord. They ask him that the Lord would not cast them into the deep. That's an interesting word. It's the same word that is translated in Revelation 20, verse 3, the bottomless pit. You'll be familiar with it. Revelation chapter 20, speaking of the Lord dealing with the devil at his second coming, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up for 1,000 years. You see, men and women, those fallen demons, they knew their destiny. They knew where they were headed. The abyss, the bottomless pit, the deep. And they knew that's where they were headed. And they knew that someday that's where they would be. It's interesting to note in Matthew's account of this same passage, they asked the question, "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" They knew that place is a place of torment. I believe the time they were speaking of was the time of Revelation 20, when the Lord would cast them away into that place. I tell you, they knew where they were headed, and I believe their whole aim and desire was to take that man of Gadara with them. Let me remind you this evening, that's where the devil, and there is a devil, the modernist, scoffs and mocks at the idea of a devil. I tell you, there is a devil, men and women. And I tell you, where he wants to take you is that place of torment. He wants to get a grip of your life, and he wants to take you to that place of where the lost are sent away, that place called hell, that place of torment, that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth that is for everlasting and is forevermore. I believe they wanted to take this man there too. Have you realized tonight that in your sin, out of Christ, defiant against the Lord and the claims of the gospel, tell you, you're off your father, the devil, and you're on your way to a lost eternity in hell. We could mention, in speaking about the destructive power of the devil, we've noted the conversation that was had with the Lord, and we've thought about this man's defiance and his destiny. He's on the way to hell. We could mention the ruination of his life. For as we read verse 27, we're told something about this man's state and condition when the devil had a grip of him. Tells us he wore no clothes, he had no shame. Nakedness brings shame. That's why the Lord clothed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they ate of the forbidden fruit. They realized their nakedness and they were full of shame. And here was a man, and he could sin, and he could run around with no shame in his sin. If you consider the sufferings that were inflicted upon him, it says at the end of verse 27, neither abode in any house. He had a home. He didn't abide in it. In the tombs, Matthew and Mark give us a little more detail. He was cutting himself. And I have already reminded you this evening that sin will take a man further than he ever wants to go. Our brother Robert testified to that this evening. He didn't think the first cigarette, he didn't think the first drink would lead to a life addicted to drugs, spiraling out of control, bringing him to the point of death. There's not one who, if they walked that road, could not be brought as low. Sin and the devil ruins lives. Young people, mark it well. The world presents its glitz. The world presents the good time. Sin, when it is finished, destroys and brings forth death and destruction.
I believe when this man would go forth to tell what great things the Lord had done for him, he started with the destructive power of Satan. But I think he would move on from that. You know, if we only condemn sin and we only warn against the dangers of sin and the devil, why, we're only getting half the message. I believe he would have went on to tell of the delivering power of the Savior. I want to emphasize the fact this man could do nothing for himself and others could do nothing for him. The best they could do was bind him in chains in the hope that he wouldn't harm himself or anyone else. Yet such was the power and influence of those demonic spirits. He snapped the chains as if he was breaking thread. You see, man doesn't have the answer for the problems of sin. Men can educate, they can try and bring in better social conditions for the sinner, but they can't deliver the soul from the guilt and the power of sin itself. No man needs Christ for that. When the Lord spoke to this poor, benighted individual, I tell you, that legion of the brats of hell, they had to flee. I want to tell you, they shook in their boots. They trembled at the word and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, do you tremble at the word and the authority of the Lord? Here, they realized the authority and the power that the Lord had, and they were fearful of him. And yet today, sinful man can blaspheme him. Sinful man can mock him. Sinful man can live as if God doesn't exist and Christ will never judge the world in righteousness. Praise God, one word from the Savior. This man was delivered. I think Christ's saving power is set forth in various ways in this man's life. I think it's set forth in the change that was he experienced. The Bible says, as we've already mentioned, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. And what was new in this man's life when he met with the Lord, when he was saved, when he was delivered, he had a new master. Look at verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and find the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. That denotes the place of learning, the place of submission. Here was a man, and once the devil was his master, sin was for his pleasure, but now the Savior is his master. The Savior, the one who teaches him. Isn't it said of Mary in Luke 10 and 39? Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see, when men and women get converted, they not only rest and trust in the Lord, they're not only saved, but they learn of Christ. Isn't that what the Savior said in Matthew's Gospel? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. He became a disciple of Christ. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's listening to the Lord's word and he's learning the Lord's ways and he's learning the doctrine of Christ and he's learning the ways of the Lord and the things of God. He'd a new master. A new teacher. He was the servant. The one that is brought under the authority of Christ. The one that is saved. They come to the place where the Lord is the one they serve. Are you serving the Lord tonight? You'll notice he had a new outlook. Verse 35 says that he was clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. I know we could mention the spiritual aspect of that. There was a man running wild, running naked, as it were. And it reminds us of the fact that he was in sin. And when he came to Christ, he was clothed. And doesn't it remind us that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're clothed in the garment of Christ's righteousness. The filthy rags of sin are taken away and we're given the garment of God's salvation. We're given the garments of Christ's righteousness so that as we stand before Him, we're accepted as righteous in His sight. We're justified. Certainly we could allude to that mess, that idea, that application here. If you come to Christ, if you are saved and delivered, then you stand before the Lord, clothed in the garments of salvation, accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted as righteous in the sight of God only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to you and received by faith alone. But I think there's something else we can learn from His clothing. He had a new attitude to sin. Before He met the Savior, He had no shame. He was quite happy to be in that condition, running among the tombs in His nakedness. But when He came to the Lord, He was clothed. He no longer wanted to be associated with the sin of the past. That to me sets forth the spirit of repentance. He's turning from His old ways. He's turning from His sin. And He's walking in obedience to Christ. He's leaving his old ways in the past. We don't hear too much of that these days. Oh, just come to Jesus. Live the way you are. You can sing in the pub on a Saturday night and you can lead the worship with the worship group on a Sabbath morning. Oh, I tell you, not in this church, by the way. Amen. But I tell you, it happens. Here was a man soundly converted. When he was saved, he turned from the old sins of the past. That's the mark of a true convert. He had a new master. He had a new outlook. He had a newfound peace. Verse 35, look at it again. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. God keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. This was a man before he was saved. He wasn't at peace with himself. He was harming himself, possibly trying to end his life. He wasn't at peace with the community. I tell you, when he met the Lord, he had peace in his heart. Sitting in his right mind. I tell you, the Lord gives His people peace. Do you know that peace? Not only peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that inner peace? That contentment the Lord gives. He had a newfound peace. He had a new goal as well. But was this home missionary's whole emphasis now, verse 39. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things the Lord had done for him. His goal, his aim now was to tell others about the Savior. That's why the gospel meeting is convened, men and women. That's why if you're in this service tonight and you're out of Christ, friends, loved ones have asked you to come and hear the message of the Savior. For they want you to get right with God. Our burden is that of Paul's. It's the same as Paul. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. The converted demonic of Gadara desired the people of his community to get right with God. He wanted to bring the message to his family. Maybe there are people in this meeting and you have brothers, you have sisters, you have a husband, a wife, you have a loved one, and they love the Lord, and their earnest prayer for you is that you would get right with God. That you'd meet with the Savior. That you'd hear His Word speaking effectually to your heart as it did to the demonic of Gadara. You too would come to know the Savior. I trust tonight you'll hear the call of God in your soul. You'll get right with Him. That's our desire for you. That's our prayer. It's the burden of our heart. You'll hear. You'll understand your need and you'll flee to Christ. The delivering power of the Savior. Our time is moving on. I want to close very briefly by saying finally, I think the third lesson this man would have testified of, or the third aspect of his message would have been the damning power of sin. As he looked around him that day, he discovered that all men are not willing and ready to embrace the Savior. As he sat at the feet of Jesus, as he heard His Word, as he was clothed in his right mind, it says the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Him, that is Jesus, to depart from them. Godly fear. They feared for their livelihood. They were keeping the swine, and you know the story, the legion of demonic powers into the swine, and they ran down that steep hill into the lake, and they were choked. They lost their livelihood. They lost their source of income. And so they asked the Lord to depart. What a picture of the depravity of man's heart. You know, the devils besought the Lord that He would not send them away into the deep. And yet, sinful man says, away with him! What a contrast. And as the demonic watched on, the converted demonic, he saw these individuals, this group of men, reject the Savior. Sad day. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I pose the question, were they putting earthly financial gain before the Savior? The miracle of a man being saved. They heard the Lord Himself. But they put the things of time and sense and sinful ways full salvation. And they asked the Lord, depart from us. It's a dangerous thing to ask the Lord to depart. For though the Lord left them a witness, He left that converted man. He entered into his little ship and he departed. Left. And women, are we not reminded of your full thought that you must part from the Spirit would strive no more? Remember, as a very young man, hearing one of the sermons of a former moderator, the story that he told, it stuck, it'll stay with me to the day that I pass on into God's heaven. Told of two ladies who came, I think it was the old Ravenhill Church. They saw over a number of weeks one was greatly troubled. They believed she had conviction of sin. And I think the story goes that one week she, Dr. Paisley noticed that there was no more concern, there was no more trouble. As she went out that night, she told how the previous Sunday evening she had her so strong a conviction in her bed she couldn't sleep. when she asked the Spirit of God to depart and never trouble her again. She told Dr. Paisley she'd never be back to the gospel meetings. The folly of asking the Lord, for He may well just answer that prayer, and He may leave yours a blast. You'll walk this life with no more concern, no more care. You'll die without Christ and without hope, enter into a lost eternity. Don't make a mistake. I trust tonight, if you're in this service, you'll listen to the missionary's message. The devil can destroy lives. The Savior can deliver. Don't let sin damn you in hell. What a terrible thing that would be. Reverend Park is going to come, bring the meeting to a close.